Last week was talking about the laws, ceremonial law service, and the fulfillment of that in Christ, and how we've entered into, had boldness, have confidence in the finished work of Christ to enter into the presence of God. And we do that quite often in prayer to our Savior. We don't realize the importance of prayer and praying for each other as we ought to. People talk about the least I can do is pray, or all that I can do is pray. That is the best thing that we can do. It's the greatest, I'll say it this way, the greatest weapon that we have is prayer. And we talked about drawing near, verse 22, Hebrews 10, with a true heart, that's one touched of God, and full assurance of faith, faith in Christ, having our heart sprinkled from evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, the blood of Christ and the Spirit of God. We left off here in these two verses. Let us hold fast profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. The profession of our faith, remembering that Paul is speaking to Hebrews who were born of the Spirit of God. Paul is speaking to those who were brought up under the law service. And if you study history, you can see that they were being enticed of their brethren in the flesh to return to the law service of which they had been brought up in, and most of them knew quite well, worshiping their father Abraham and the law of Moses and Moses himself instead of Christ. They had hated Christ without a cause. They had rejected Him. Paul is teaching them that this Christ that your fathers with wicked hands have taken and crucified, this Christ, this man, God has made Him both Lord and Christ. And He's faithful. Believe. Faith is a gift of God. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It comes through Christ. Believe. For He is faithful that promised, God who cannot lie. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Talk a little bit about that last week, of what a great comfort it is and what a great encouragement is to a child of God who's born of the Spirit of God, who's trying to fight a good fight of faith and walk through this world manifesting Christ in His body with all that's around us. We've got an evil government. We've got an evil society. We walk in the world. God said, come out from among them and be ye separate. That's what we strive to do, and follow in the footsteps of Christ and the way that Christ ordained, and the way that Christ was an example of how we should walk in this world. It's a great comfort to know that your brethren pray for you. It's a great comfort when a brother or sister calls you and talks to you about the Lord and encourages you and tells you that we pray together, that we love each other, all of us, as a bond, as a family, a unity in Christ by the Spirit of God. What a great comfort it is. And I made mention last week of those who have called me before. There sits one right there. Brother Tim McCool used to call me ever so often. I'd be getting ready to go to work. The phone would ring. I'd be depressed. I had to go back into Sodom and work another shift. And that would bring me down from time to time, because I am nothing but flesh. And those kind, encouraging words would lift my spirit. And it would carry me through the day at work. Paul is speaking about the kingdom of God. They have been taken from the law, which Christ fulfilled, and brought into the New Testament church. He taketh away the old, that He may the first, that He may establish the second. The testament, the covenant of God. God made covenant. God and God alone keeps covenant. So bear in mind what we're talking about. Keep it in context. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Okay. This is about 66 A.D. We know in 70 A.D., and it's actually started before that, that the armies of Rome would totally destroy the city of Jerusalem. The people would be taken into bondage and dispersed. They knew this was coming. God told them in Moses, when I bring you into the land that I've given unto you, that I promised unto you, you'll go whoring after the gods of the land, and I will scatter you among the heathen. This was prophesied in the Old Testament. In Matthew 24 and in Mark 13, speaking of the destruction of Jerusalem, and that's what it's speaking about. It's not some prophecy of the end of time. It's the end of the time of the lost service. The end of Jerusalem. Christ fulfilled the law. God is, that's finished. And to prove it, those that sinned against Christ, let his blood be upon us and upon our children. God had the whole city razed, R-A-Z-E-D, leveled to the ground. They knew these things were coming. Jesus said in Matthew 24 and Mark 13, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. We go back to Daniel chapter 9 and find that prophesied of. When you see it stand in the holy place, which is where the Ark of the Covenant was and where the priest would minister in the outer sanctuary. The Ark of Covenant was not there. The Romans brought in an idol and placed it there. These things were prophesied in the Old Testament. When God called Isaiah to preach that he would shut their eyes and stop their ears, speaking of the Jews that were blinded, Isaiah said, how long? And the Lord told him, until the cities be waste. To be desolate. They knew this was coming. They knew that day was coming. In Luke 21, about verse 20, the Lord himself said in this manner, speaking of the same time, the same occurrence, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies. That's the Romans around the city, which they laid siege for 6 months. Know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Why am I telling you this? Because these people were under the law service their entire life. They were Jews. They prided themselves. We be not born of fornication. Your mother did not have a husband, was not married, Mary the Virgin, when she conceived. We be not born of fornication. We have our father, Abraham. They were the picture of God's children, being of the nation of Israel, which God was pleased to choose to set his love upon and manifest his right and his power of election and choosing whom he pleased to choose and set his love upon before the world ever was. They knew these things were coming. When Paul is speaking to them, this is about 66 AD. What did he say? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, because there were those who were trying to convince, either by alluring them back to the law through their father Abraham, the law of Moses, or by ridiculing them and persecuting them and killing them and putting them to death. This very apostle Paul did that very thing until God touched him and set him upon his face at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Perhaps some of these things in 66 AD were already happening. They were being lured away. They were being persecuted. They were being hated. Let's apply that in today's terms. We see the same thing today. We have an evil government in this nation. Satan sits on both parties in the reign of government. Well, they don't approve of it. Have they stopped it? Have they fought against it? Have they spoken against it? We need to wake up, but I'm not here to talk about the Republic. I'm here to talk about the Lord and His bride, the church. They saw that day coming. The point is being made. You know this is going to come to pass. You know Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. It's prophesied in Scripture. You're not blinded. God touched you. God revealed Himself to you. God called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which is Christ the Lord. You know of redemption. You know of the church of grace. You know of the church of God. Yet this day is coming, and the closer this day comes, the more you should be assembling together in Christ to learn of Him today in this land, in this nation in which we live, which the family has been heavily attacked for well over 150, 200 years, where the church is dwindling down and doors are closing. We need to heed the admonition. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. He just told us about the honey and the wine. He just told us about the sweetness of God. This is where we feed. This is where we are strengthened. This is where we learn of Christ. This is where we fellowship with God in Christ. And this is where we have love that flows from breast to breast. The sacrifice of the very Son of God Himself. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Because they were being tempted. They were being persecuted. In every way, Satan has tried to draw man away from God. More than we can count, more than we can know. They're all the same, for there's nothing new under the sun. Satan has not changed. He attacks us with the same tactics he always has. That's why we need to study history. But exhorting one another. There's that exhortation. There's that exhortation. They talked yesterday, two very good ministers. They're very practical sermons. I am not a practical preacher. I like to talk about Christ, but that was very well received, very well blessed of God, and I enjoyed hearing it. We need to be exhorting one another. Sometimes we need to be admonished, but we need to exhort also. And as it was pointed out yesterday, there is a difference. Exhortation is far more gentle than an admonishment. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now I do believe, you don't have to believe this, but I do believe due to the context of the kingdom of God and the law, ceremonial law, the day was rapidly approaching when that would be destroyed and completely razed to the ground. I do believe this context, Paul speaking to these Jewish brethren, these Israelite brethren in the flesh, whom God had revealed Himself to in Christ. I do believe He's telling them the importance and exhortation, because that day was coming. That day was coming. The law has been fulfilled to a jot and a tittle. And all of these things that they try by deception of Satan to draw you back to the flesh and the law service, where we would declare ourselves to be as gods, knowing good and evil and being able to accept Christ or work our way to Christ, and all the vile heresies that are still here in this world today are going to be done away with. It's not going to give you anything. It's not going to give you any comfort. It's not going to give you any peace. But Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. How much the more should you be assembling together on the Lord's day? He's telling these brethren, as you see the day approaching. Now that day is past. That day is gone. If we want to think about this in the age that we live today, we see nations coming to war, as we see a world being destroyed by the subtlety of Satan. We see governments, men, evil, wicked men, sitting upon thrones in government. I'm talking about our government in this nation and the world, being controlled by the hand of Satan. Then surely by reading Scripture, you remember talking about the man of sin. You remember talking about how things were in the days of Noah, how corrupt things had gotten, and God flooded the earth. You remember talking about at this time when Christ was born in the world in the fullness of time, how corrupted the law service was, how corrupted the church of God had become because of sinful, evil men, and God delivered in both times. And surely that makes us look around us today and see the way this nation is and realize that the day is coming. This is speaking of us, that the day is coming when the very Son of God, our deliverer, will appear in the eastern sky. Should we not assemble, this is speaking of the church, as we, much the more as you see the day of Christ approaching. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Lord, help me, please. This is not speaking of sin, any sin. We're all sinners. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Steve made a great point of what's inside our heart and our mind. We don't have to say it. We don't have to act upon it. But what is in us as long as we live in this body is sin. That's why Paul said, it's not I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I thank God for Christ, who has delivered me from this body of sin. Until this body is laid down, we will fight sin. This text is not talking about our thought and emotion, only evil continually, and all the things of nature which attack us daily, things we think and do. This is talking about the context of the Scripture. If we sin willfully, it's about forsaking the assembly of the saints. You look around this nation. Over 200 years, this nation has been blessed because the Lord's church was here. In my life, I've never seen the church dwindle down to so few. In my life, I've never seen a time when government and men in government manifested their wickedness and their evil so unashamed of it. I'm proud. I'm evil. That's the way it appears. Christ, I do not believe, is far off. But the point being, this is dealing with assembling ourselves together. This republic is falling into the pit of hell. If we read our history, we find a time in the beginning where families worshiped Christ, and this nation was blessed. We see times of more godliness and prosperity as a people of God in the kingdom of God, and therefore as a nation, because God's people assembled together and worshiped the Lord in spirit and in truth. We see churches closing doors. Read an article the other day about how the church, nobody cares about it anymore. Nobody wants to come to church. They can sit home and watch it on the internet. They can catch some mega church ceremony and send their money, and all is well. God forbid. Let me tell you something. God is a jealous God.
Amen.
He will not give His glory to another. God gives us life for a purpose. Christ redeemed us for a purpose. We are here to worship the living God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That is the purpose of all things. We've been killed with prosperity, with laziness, and the nation suffers because we willfully neglect the service of the assembly of the saints. I remember Sister Beverly a few years ago drove by here. It was an Easter morning. She said, you know, it's a crying shame. It's 10, 12 of us here. That ballpark down there in Chelsea's got so many cars you can't get on the parking lot. That's the great American way today. Forsake God. Is that not like the book of Judges? Every man did that which is right in his own eyes, and we see how they suffered. That's given us for an example.
Yes.
If we sin willfully, not assembling together, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Time out.
Time out.
Rightly divide the word of truth. All the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I shall in no wise cast out. Let me find it and read it. Romans 8, where we see who shall lay anything the charge of God's elect. It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again. 8:33-34, and I'm going to end the chapter. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? Who shall separate us? Here's my point. From the love of Christ, shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. There's seven things. That's complete. You understand that? Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Why did I tell you that? Rightly dividing the word of truth in Hebrews 10. There will not be one single child of God who will ever step a foot into the everlasting lake of fire. They are bought in the blood and the body of the Lamb of God. They're paid for. They're redeemed. Ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. Period. So, while we talk about that, let's rightly divide the word of truth. For if we sin willfully, not assembling together, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, when God hath revealed himself to us and given us life by his Spirit, that irresistible call, when Paul said, for you see your calling, brethren. And then God uses the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The preached word, he told us we have eternal life. The gospel brings life and immortality to light. It teaches us of it. That's the thing that God works. When the Spirit of God mixed with the gospel, when he reveals it to you, all of God's children do not hear the gospel. These people that talk about you've got to hear and you've got to believe, understand, brethren, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. If God hath, for he cannot deny himself, if God has a people into every tongue that's ever been on the face of the earth, how did God's children have salvation who've been in parts of the world where the gospel was never preached? The same way you do, by the grace of God, the blood of Christ. But we're talking about assembling ourselves together. If we sin willfully after that we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. If we turn away from God, some people say this is talking about those who are not God's children, and there are many who are not God's children who would come into religious organizations for political gain or whatever. That's enough. There you can know what I'm talking about. But I'm going to tell you what. I've been there. I've been outside the church. I've been in the church. Baptized August the 10th, 1974. I knew the grace of God. I knew the truth of God. I knew the love of God. Not as much as God has revealed to me since he brought me back into the church. But I knew it. I've been there myself. Let's make a point. Deuteronomy 13, this is under the law which Christ fulfilled. Verse 6, if thy brother, he's hitting close to home. You remember where he said, I came not to bring peace but a sword? You remember where he said, it's a fire kindled on earth and separate man from son, mother from daughter. Okay, let's go back to Deuteronomy 13, 6. If thy brother, the son of thy mother, your blood kin brother, he's talking to Jews over here, he's talking to Israel here, or thy son, or thy daughter, and here's the big one, or the wife of thy bosom, the woman God gave you to cherish above all other people in this world. Or thy friend, which is as thine own soul. If these people entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods that thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers have not known him. Namely, of the gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto thee, or far off from thee, we're surrounded by idolatry, brethren. From the one end of the earth even unto the other. Any doctrine that tells you it's a works doctrine, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, you've got to work your way there, you've got to make a choice, you've got to buy it and pay for it, is our strange gods. That's the same God Adam was tempted with and rebelled. The day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt be as gods. Thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shall thine eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him, but thou shalt surely kill him. Stone. That is the law. You want to worship under the law? If we were under the law today, there'd be piles of stones all over this land. And I'd be under the first one. Christ fulfilled the law. Today, we're told to support the weaker brethren. Today, we're told to pray for each other. Today, God sends forth men to seek them which are lost by the preaching of the gospel. Peradventure, God would give them an ear to hear and a heart to feel and to know and to bring them back into church. I'm going to tell you, God brought me back here. I did not come. God made me miserable. You understand? Three of my beloved people in my life died in a 6-month period. God brought me back here seeking peace, knowing there was no other place to find it. Now, with that said, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation. There remains no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for judgment of God and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. That's what they were taught under the law. Look at this nation. Do we not see the indignation of God upon this country? We have turned so far away from Him. We have made what God said wrong in the eyes of men. I'm talking of this society and this nation and this government. We have brought God down to the level of men and even lower. What is, well, just like He said of the Jews in Isaiah, what's right is wrong, and what's wrong is right. If you try to speak of Christ, you see at the sporting event, you mention God, it's okay. What God do you serve? You mention Jesus Christ and the TV is off like that. And don't you dare think that that TV and that news and that computer is not a tool that they use. Our youth, and God told us, thou shalt diligently teach these things to thy sons and thy sons' sons. Our youth are being corrupted by this mass system that Satan has in place. A certain fearful looking for of judgment and fire indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. God will give us over to our desires. We shall suffer in this world just as those that God is going to destroy with His glory when Christ returns to this world. God is no respecter of persons. God judges His people. God corrects His people. God chastens His people. But a fearful looking for of judgment and fire indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under 2 or 3 witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who have trodden under foot the Son of God. He is talking about forsaking to assemble ourselves together and worship God. He's talking to Jewish people who were being persecuted and allured back to the law service. They've trodden underfoot the Son of God. Hebrews 6, it said they crucified the Son of God afresh. Listen to this one. This is dealing and comparing to those in the world who are wicked, who if they had the power, and they do not, and I'm almost afraid to say this, and I say it that you will understand, these are people who would remove Christ from the throne and trample upon His body. That's who they are. That's what they are. They've trodden underfoot the Son of God, hath counted the blood of the covenant whereby He was sanctified. He's talking to Jews. Remember, He's talking about all the blood and all those sacrifices, and how the Lord is our great high priest, and He's entered one time in the holy place, well, not with the blood of others, but with His blood. And they make it an unholy thing to done despite under the Spirit of grace. Now, first of all, I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to do it quickly and paraphrase. Scripture talks about blasphemy being the unforgivable sin. I love to read these great theologians that read all these things and tell you all these things, and some of the things they say I agree with, but here's one I don't. A child of God cannot blaspheme the Holy Spirit. That is an unforgivable sin. It is not possible for you, whom God has given eternal life, to blaspheme the Spirit of God. Why? Because you have an intercessor. You have the Son of God, the mediator we've been talking about, standing between you and God. Okay, so let's rightly divide the word of truth and keep it in context. God said, comfort ye, my people, not scare ye. Scare you. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me. It's God's. I will recompense, saith the Lord. It's God's. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. The Lord shall judge his people. On the last day, God will judge the wicked. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And Christ will take those that are his and set them on his right hand, and they shall inherit the kingdom of glory. But God judges his people here in the world. God chastens. God, what is he saying? The Lord, if we forsake the assembling of ourselves together as a people of God, the Lord will suffer us to get that which we seek. And we can suffer just as bad as the wicked in this world. As I've told my whole life, a child of God pays for his sins here in this world. Been there, experienced some of that. It's not pleasant. And I thank God in heaven for Christ who gave me repentance, or I'd still be in that misery. I'm going to stop here, probably. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You remember when David numbered the people. Mm-hmm. Now, God commanded Moses to number the people. There's a great difference. To manifest how many of God's children he delivered, he brought out of Egypt. David took upon himself to number the people. That was a great sin. In God's eyes, God gave him a choice to suffer from man or suffer from God. And God sent an angel. Angels are not sweet little pretty blonde-headed women with halos playing a harp. Every angel in the Bible that speaks coming from God is a male. He's either bringing a message or he's got a destroying weapon in his hand. That's angels. This angel. You see the result of sin. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. David said, perhaps the Lord will show mercy. I take the hand of God. 70,000 Israelites killed, slain with pestilence. How many Israelites are killed today, or slain with pestilence, who are outside the kingdom of God? Maybe they've been in the church. They got mad, they got hurt, they lost interest, whatever the situation. First of all, pray for those people, because whether they even realize it or not, they're in great misery. Because they have left the kingdom of God. I've been there. I've done that. But how many? How many have quit coming? We live in a world today where the church, it's a falling away. It's an apostasy. The spirit of the devil is rampant in this land. I've said this many times. The buck stops here. God doesn't judge me by what somebody else did. God judges me by what I do. And as he said to Moses in Exodus 20, visiting the iniquity of the fathers and the children of the third and fourth generation. And he also blesses to the third and fourth generation of those that love him and fear his name. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And as I close this for time, you understand this. And you understand this very good, very well, very true. God does not leave nor forsake his people. What is the answer to our problem? They talked about this yesterday. It starts at home. Husband, love your wife. Wife, reverence the husband. Teach these things unto thy sons and thy sons' sons. Come to the assembly of the saints when you are well enough to do so and worship God and learn of Christ. Fellowship with each other. Love each other. Love God. Bask in the glory of the Son of God and have strength to carry on in this world and to realize the manifest truth of God, that we are his and he will deliver. May God bless you.